sunny skies with highs in the lower 80s, and then rain on Sunday. That's your latest forecast on the mighty 1630 KCJJ. Right now, it's 69 degrees.
HawkFanatic.com is brought to you by Patrick Eads and the staff at Deary Brothers Ford on Mormon Trek. Steve Anderson, Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Mike's E-Keys for Cars. GT Car and his crew at Supple's Building and Remodeling. Supple's Flowers, the home of 1-800-800-ROSE. The Midtown Family Restaurants. Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, 101 South Dubuque Street, downtown Iowa City. Senior Benefits. Wells Fargo Advisors. Premier Automotive in North Liberty. The Ox Yoke Inn and the Amanas. Streets Maintenance. Dr. Lance Forbes Diamond Dental in Cedar Rapids. And Big Dog Tech Solutions. Tommy Lang sitting in for Mr. Suter. Pat Hardy from HawkFanatic.com. Take it away.
Break it down.
Tommy's the new kind of moderator. He's got Suter's role.
Do I have... Beth Getz is what, 20 minutes?
9:30. My guess is it's going to be probably right around 9:30. So Suter usually is the one to introduce, and then we go from there. And for our listeners, if anyone has any questions... good questions. We don't need to, I know I'm kind of setting myself.
Real questions.
Why are we here?
I know I'm setting myself up for, but if there's anything specifically you want us to ask, Tommy and I have been discussing,
I joked off the air because we were talking about it. I said, Beth, what do you think about the 40th anniversary of the death of Len Bias? It would be a curveball she would not see coming.
That's today, Captain.
It's today.
40 years ago today, Len Bias died.
No, she would not expect that question.
Have you moved on? I remember that though. He was my grade. He was good. And that was right in 1980, the height of the cocaine. A lot of people were dying back then.
What is that?
Yeah, what's that?
Is that us?
Yeah, it's this thing.
Oh yeah, muted.
June 19th, 1986. And then I think shortly thereafter, an NFL player died of the same thing. And
was the NBA still having their cocaine problems, or was that a little bit earlier?
Okay. The 70s and 80s were both, and not good. But I remember when I heard that, I'm like, whoa, I was just floored by that news. He had just been on the TV 2 days earlier after being picked by the Celtics. And it was, man. Then remember shortly thereafter, didn't Mayor Barry, Washington, D.C., wasn't he on tape smoking crack?
Yes.
Yeah.
There was just a bunch of crazy stuff that happened in the mid-80s. That one, there he was. There's the mayor partying.
Yeah.
He was partying.
Smoking crack.
Bitch set him up. Remember that? That was his excuse. Yeah. Bitch set me up.
Yeah. Quote.
She still didn't force him to inhale. And
no, but that was a quote. Bitch set me up.
From the mayor.
The crazy 80s, and now here we are in 2000.
When was Rob Ford the Toronto mayor who got busted doing crack?
Yes.
He looked like Chris Farley, but he was like on crack.
I remember that one too. Yeah, I do remember that one. Okay, let's get back on track.
Enough crack.
Let's back on track.
Talking to Hawks.
But
anything noteworthy coming out of the football interviews? The players the other day?
No, it's always good to get access to the players. They had 10 of them available to us, and I ended up writing a couple offensive line stories. Cade Pieper, I think it's Pieper.
You picked a peck.
He is. Can't do it. He is the typical Iowa reluctant star guy. He hates to talk about himself. He's not a media savvy guy. He's not rude or dismissive by any means. He's just not into it. He's like, when I go home, I don't talk to my family about football. The problem he has though is he's like on everybody's first team preseason All-American team everywhere. He made third team All Big Ten last year. He's part of the Joe Moore award-winning line, but he got overshadowed by the three guys who got drafted. But now it's his time and Trevor Lauch's time. And they've got two really highly decorated linemen, and they're completely different. Lauch is a conversation waiting to happen. He jokes. He's great with the media. Where Pieper is just himself. He's quiet, reserved, and he doesn't like the attention. And again, he's not rude. But he'll deal with it. I'll give him credit. He showed up there and he answered every question. There was one time it looked like he was going to get let free, but then some other media people said, no, we still want to talk to him. Then I looked 5 minutes later, there he is surrounded by six or seven media people. But he did it. He stuck with it. And because he's going to have to do a lot of interviews if he plays the way he is expected to play. Because, man, he's getting a lot of attention. And I've been told by pretty good sources that he would have been drafted pretty high in the NFL draft this past spring as a third-year sophomore. So that tells you something, too. And he's won the Solon hay bale toss. What's that, Solon beef days?
Yes.
Yeah. He's won the hay bale.
He won it twice. Somebody won it twice.
He's won it twice in a row. And I think Jennings Knucker won it twice in a row him, I believe. But Peeper's the reigning champion. And I'm sure that's bigger than anything he's accomplished as a Hawk, don't you think? Went in the Solon beef.
Up at the draft.
Do you get money for Jennings that? Dunker. It always does. Do you get money for winning that?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Prestige. AI will give you an answer, even if they don't know.
Wrong,
they'll give you an answer. Yes, you win $1 million to win the Solon Beef Days hay bale toss.
Because I remember we ran the audio of the Steelers coordinator, offensive coordinator, saying, oh, yeah, if you think about the hay bale toss, and he broke down like the mechanics you need to toss that hay
bale. I even wrote in my story that a lot of what it takes to throw that hay 13 is what it takes to be a great offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Leverage, strength, power, explosion. And you throw that thing 13 feet up in the air, so that tells you something. And, you know, he's not a real imposing. He's 6 foot, but there's been other linemen that looked a lot bigger than him, but it just goes to show you it takes more than just the noticeable size. He's got quick feet, good leverage, and what have you. And the funny thing is he's from Nebraska, and Nebraska didn't offer him a scholarship.
He brings that up sometimes.
Sometimes, but not. He's like, at this stage, I don't care. It was motivation, but he goes, it's just fun to go there and play now. I mean, they went there last year and beat him 40-16. You know, so that's not a good look for Nebraska to have this guy in your backyard and you don't even offer him a scholarship. You know, and now here he is at Iowa thriving. So, what are you looking up, Captain?
The hay bale.
Is it, what is it? How much money? $50,000? $100,000?
You will never have to work again.
Yeah, you can retire on the hay bale toss.
No money.
Okay.
No just, money.
Instead of cash, the winners of various divisions compete for bragging rights, trophies, and customized championship belts.
I'm sorry, but I'd rather have cash, wouldn't you?
Cash would be nice, but I think a championship belt would be kind of cool.
No, it is a neat contest.
Any trophy.
It's crazy how popular it is.
Yeah. When is Solon Beef Day? That's got to be coming up next month, right?
It's in July. Mid-July. Yeah, and I knew there was. I was joking.
Break that down for us. Any favorites?
Cade Peeper. I didn't ask him yesterday if he was going to do it or not. I mean, he would be my favorite if he was doing it. So, we've got a few. I want to ask Beth about, of course, the Sorsby thing and the Sports Protection Act, where the Big Ten and the SEC seem to be kind of joining forces. I see how much she can talk about that. And you, of course, I think we need to ask her about Savannah Bananas?
Savannah Bananas coming in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that?
Yeah.
July 3rd and 4th.
They had them on TNT. They had a game.
They're on True TV for like 8 weeks, and they'll carry the July 3rd game.
I've been told that it's not easy to get credentials. I'm not applying for them.
I'm not either.
The photographers can't be on the field. And I kind of got, and it sounds like credentials are not.
Baseball, that makes sense.
It sounds like credentials are not a lock for you. I mean, they're very selective because they have such a big team that kind of follows them, their own people and what have you. So, but I know some people that are going to go to it. But do you know how much are tickets?
I don't know.
Somebody told me they were kind of expensive, but I have not seen
you're
it.
You're right, though. It's True TV that I saw it on.
Yeah, and they're owned by Turner, so that's probably why you. Yeah, I thought that. But they're going to carry the July 3rd game.
And it seems like it's a pretty big success.
It is huge.
What they've turned this into.
I mean, different networks are fighting for the rights to carry these games.
And the thing with baseball, like I think a caller may have said to me, with baseball, you can't. I mean, basketball, it's easy to miss a shot or to.
Yeah.
Baseball, sometimes baseball doesn't let you do what you want to do, even if you're joking.
That's what I was thinking when I saw it. It was like the guy who bats on his stilts. It's like you're still swinging at pitches.
Yeah, and you may not hit him. You know, I mean, it's. Whereas Curly Neal was going to dribble the basketball no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, baseball, you just don't know.
Yeah, that's what kind of surprises me, how good they are at being able to do that stuff.
They start at 74.
Yeah. Because I wanted to ask her more specifically about the setup for that, how you convert Kinnick into a baseball field.
Maybe I'm being.
What's that going to look like?
Maybe I'm being cheap, but that's not cheap, is it?
No, it's not cheap.
That seems. For
like the least expensive tickets?
For two people to go, $150? That's a decent.
I don't know. I thought it was.
That's a decent.
My sister
jump.
Wanted to get me tickets for that for my birthday, and I said I wanted the pro wrestling tickets for AEW instead.
How much would that cost?
Wound up watching Ring of Honor. I think they were like $25 each or $30 each.
Hello?
Banana tickets are $60.
60? Okay.
Actually, we had good seats for the wrestling.
All right, thanks.
More expensive. We were in the third row for the wrestling.
Yeah, it's. Okay.
Well, 60. I mean, what's the cost of an Iowa football game now? It's more than that, isn't it? Just well, it depends on the game, of course.
You're asking the wrong people. Well, the guy who doesn't go and two people get credentials.
But again, you know, the game against Penn State or Michigan is going to cost more than a UMass or what have you, of course. But no, it's this thing seems like it's a big success. It'll be interesting to see how it's received here, and of course, the weather is a huge factor. I mean, you can't do this stuff in the rain, obviously.
Or if it's super hot. You know, well, that's... Kinnick's not going to be great in July.
Don't you think it's probably... I mean, it's probably maybe not going to be super hot, but I doubt it's going to be less than 80 degrees in there in the middle of... In early July, that's...
Right. You think how hot it gets in late August, for home games.
Think how hot it stays in September.
Yeah.
So that will be interesting. Hope they catch a break and get a day like today. But days like today, you don't get much in July.
We've had like a week's worth of this. And then next week's like this, too.
Yeah, it's either pouring down rain right now or we got really nice weather.
When does the pouring down rain? I think that's Sundays when that starts.
Yeah, we got a chance of showers tonight.
Oh, tonight, okay.
But then a chance of showers late tomorrow night. Then showers and thunderstorms Sunday, and then...
Well, what are these? I mean, are we talking like 80%, 90%?
Talking between 60 and 80.
For all those times, all four of those times just mentioned?
Tonight
now you sound like Brendan Torkey.
Tonight's 40 to 50.
What are the odds?
40 to 50 tonight, 40 to 50 tomorrow, 90 on Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday's the day I saw it was probably going to rain a lot on Father's Day.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice that we're getting these days.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gone from one extreme to the other. We get rain, and then we get beautiful 3 or 4 days in a row. Thank God it just hasn't been just rain every day, or we'd have serious problems.
Let's take this call.
I mean, today's beautiful.
We're still under flood watch.
Yesterday was beautiful.
Flood warning.
Warning for the rivers,
Flood warning for the rivers. Hello.
Horrible. Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Good to hear Beth. Hey, Pat.
It's great to hear
her. Picking your father today. He's much like me.
What's that?
What?
Father's Day. Think of your father.
Well, how is his father like you?
And my dad.
Okay.
Okay, but how is his father? How's Pat's father like you?
He was a tough guy.
Oh, yeah, he was a tough guy.
Yeah.
Paul's saying he's a tough guy, Captain.
Yeah.
He's going to come out of here.
A little quicker with his answers than Paul is. But.
Why, are you threatening me?
Paul's going to come out of here and kick your ass.
Are you going to kick my ass, Paul?
Wow. I like that he liked our interview with Beth Getz, though. I appreciate that feedback.
Even though we haven't had it yet.
No, not yet. Not at all.
Yeah, Father's Day was...
I think he's going to kick my ass.
Father's Day was...
It's coming up.
This Sunday. Yeah, that's what I thought. Sometimes I get my days... I'm like, what day is today? I forgot today is Friday. And...
Juneteenth.
I always know the day. Sometimes the day of the week I lose track of more than the date, if that makes any sense.
Tomorrow is the Pride Parade here in Iowa City. A lot of Hawkeye athletes usually go out for that. Usually it's a lot to see them out there for that.
But yeah, nice. Father's and Mother's Day, they don't obviously mean as much to me anymore since I don't have my mom and dad around. They used to mean a lot. And I will say, remember I always used to talk about my buddy who had the German Shepherd and the little Yorkie?
Yeah.
The Yorkie was laid to rest here.
Aw.
I think it was Wednesday he was laid to rest. And 14 years, he had a good life, but he had a tumor that was inoperable, and it sucks. Let me see if this is important.
I didn't recognize the number. Neither does your phone.
It says potential spam.
I would think it's potential. You know, someone answer it and screw with them.
No.
Okay, Steve would have screwed with them.
I will.
Okay. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing okay.
We got my dad a mini fridge for his room over at the care facility.
Yeah.
He likes that a lot. Keeps pop cold and stuff. And went to Coral Ridge Mall to buy that. And then I got to go over to Lids and got my White Sox hat that I've been looking for. The cursive C1 that they only had in like the late 80s. Well, big score for me from Lids.
How long is he going to be in there?
Well, I don't know. Until he could walk again. It might be a while. Yeah. So we got him a fridge for however many months he's still there.
Okay.
Pat's back.
It was spam.
There you go.
They said I was eligible for free groceries.
Oh,
if I did.
Wow. Yeah, I would have quit the show right there.
And, yeah. But
forget this interview. Free groceries.
They're all the same. When you say hello, they're never ready to talk to you. You hear a bunch of voices in the background, And then eventually you get on and the person barely speaks English. This guy I could barely understand. And I did hear him say something about you're eligible for this. And I hung up.
Oh, Paul could barely understand.
I'm getting a ton of spam calls like that now. Or something about...
You know, there's a setting on most phones where you can just send it straight to voicemail if it doesn't recognize
Well, this
number.
One did say potential spam. And most of them have been saying it was my fault for answering it.
But we kind of goaded you into that.
But, well, I mean, I... No, you really didn't.
Nah.
I'm a free thinker. But, yeah, I think you offended Paul. We offended Paul.
I think we confused Paul.
Well, I think that was done long before.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with that either. I'm not saying it was a difficult task.
But as far as, yeah, the football players the other day, there was no major breaking news, but I didn't expect
it. There usually isn't, right?
But it's just nice to have access. I talked to one media guy who also covers Iowa State. I mean, it doesn't look that Iowa State hasn't made any players available this summer yet, and it doesn't seem to be an indication they will. Now, that could be because they have a new coach and they're figuring things out, but I do like Iowa's access. I mean, we get more players on July 15th. We're going to have the women's basketball three times between now and the end of July, starting next week for the first one. Those are on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so they won't be a scheduling conflict. And then we get the men twice in July, too. So, yeah, between them, we still have six more contacts between football, men's and women's basketball. So Iowa does a good job of giving you access.
Yeah. I mean, that helps them, too.
And
without question.
Yeah. We're talking about this a little bit off the air, how in the last few years now, they just send us audio clips of players after the games and coaches and stuff, which is very helpful to people like me who can't maybe make it to certain games because I got to do stuff here, I'm working here a lot. And I can't make it out to like a basketball game, and they're sending us that audio is a godsend for what we do here.
Yeah.
No. So, yeah, I appreciate Beth Getz for making that available to us, too, because that kind of started with her administration. It certainly ramped up. So.
Yeah. No, that's. But again, it helps build their brand.
Yeah.
Gets people, you know, up and ready for it.
Both sides help each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Iowa appreciates us having those guests on.
Well, we appreciate
them. And we appreciate them having because it brings listeners. Yeah, both sides are kind of pleasing each other, and that's the way it's supposed to work. You know, and I appreciate Beth coming on, and we had Ben on recently. We've had Jan on. But that's what they got to do. And it's good for someone like Beth Getz to talk to thousands of Iowa Hawkeye fans, which she will be doing here in a few minutes. And, that's just the way you should do business, and they do business that way. I don't recall. Did we ever have Gary? I think, did we have Gary on once?
I feel like we had him on. Well, I had him on the Monica show once, but I think he did Hawk Fanatic, too.
I know we had him on once.
I think we had him on more than once.
Oh, I'm talking about you guys may have had him on. I don't recall him being on more than once on Hawk Fanatic. And Gary didn't do. I mean, well, Beth doesn't. It's not like Beth does a ton. I'm not expecting the AD to be out on the corner
talk. Maybe he wasn't on with you, but we've had him on the station more than once.
But Gary didn't do it. Gary did not do a ton of interviews, but he was also very accessible if you were around him. You know, you could just walk up to him and talk to him.
Yeah, he was open.
Yeah, Gary was very. But there were also lots of times where if you were going to have Gary on. You, in order to be fair, there was a lot of controversy at times. I don't remember him coming on and talking about the Jane Meyer cases and stuff. He couldn't.
No,
a lot of that stuff.
We talked about the West parking lot when they.
Yeah, stuff like that. But serious stuff involving personnel. He's not going to talk about stuff like that on the radio. There's a limit to what you can say.
Yeah, it was
usually,
hey, let's plug the upcoming football season or something. It was more like a friendly.
Friendly.
Except, he did, because everybody was pissed off they got cleared out of the West lot.
Yeah.
And he took it on, and he answered it, whether he pleased anybody or not, but at least
that's different, though, than talking about really serious personnel matters involving employees and what have you. But, no, Gary was always very accessible. I mean, he was always very – you could walk up to him, talk to him, and he still goes to a lot of the events now. I see him at basketball games all the time. Seems very relaxed. Seems to be enjoying retirement and, more power to him. And I think Beth has been a nice addition to the athletic department. And I think she's showing signs. I mean, she hired Ben right now. That looks like genius, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And Jan Jensen, I mean, that was a no-brainer. Any AD was going to do that. But, I mean, she also, Beth brought in the gymnastics coach. That seems to be working really well.
Even volleyball is more competitive than they were.
Yes, I mean
they're not like the bottom team.
No,
anymore.
they've made progress. It's just
they made progress, but that's...
it's just hard though. I saw, I mean, if Iowa has players that are really, 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 really good, they end up going to places like Nebraska.
Yeah,
because they're so good. Oh, I wanted to ask her about the new soccer coach too, because you know Beth was a soccer. I got to make sure I got it. It's Drew Wade, I believe is his name, right? The new Iowa soccer coach.
He's British, right?
Yes. Yeah. Remember we had the player on who said that one of the funniest things about him was his accent.
Yes.
Hi, you're on the air. Is this Beth?
Good morning. It's Beth.
Hey, Beth. How are you? You got Pat Hardy, Tommy Lang, and Captain Steve. We appreciate you coming on. We know you're busy, and we won't take a lot of your time, but, boy, we got some stuff we want to talk to you about. And, Tom, you want to start with the Savannah?
Yeah, we can start with the Savannah. Well, local, first of all, coming up. I want to thank you personally because I, last summer, started losing weight and decided I was actually going to go cover games, which I'd never really done before. Even though I'm 53, it was my first year of really interviewing players and stuff, and you answered a lot of questions for me because I might as well have been some kid from KRUI or DITV, and you saved me from a lot. There's one point I think I was going to report the wrong injury, but so personally, thank you for tolerating me this last season. Now,
we appreciate the coverage.
You've been great. But coming up here in a few weeks, we've got the Savannah Bananas coming to Kinnick Stadium. And I know it was just announced a few days ago that one of the games, July 3rd, would be on True TV. And my first question about that is the configuration for it, because we've never had a baseball game at Kinnick Stadium. Have you seen what the setup's going to be like? And can you describe to people what that's like for people who may have just been there for football?
Yeah, isn't it something? It's gonna be a lot of fun for our fans to have that crew here, and it will look a little bit unique. So think about it being oriented down towards the north end zone a little bit, maybe similar to what we saw with the crossover in Kinnick a couple of years ago. But it'll be a lot of fun, a lot of fan engagement, and to get to do that right here in the city is going to be great. So you have a little short outfield, as you can expect. So we may see a few balls going out, but it's going to be great.
So home plate would be what, like in the northwest corner?
I think that's right. Okay. I haven't been back out this week to see how they're setting that up, but I think that's right.
Okay, well, now I'm going to take an abrupt turn here. Beth, I wanted to ask you, the Brendan Sorsby stuff, that whole controversy, I, for one, never thought he was going to end up playing. I didn't think it would be resolved this fast. I'm just kind of curious, can you kind of share your thoughts on what was going on? I heard people saying this will be the end of college sports, blah, 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 as we know it. How can you kind of capsulize everything that happened? And did you ever think he was going to end up playing after all this stuff came out?
Yeah, I mean, I think to answer the last part first, I mean, it's really hard to know how things are going to work these days in college athletics, because I think from a broad picture standpoint, the challenge of administrating a national collegiate athletics system based on the jurisdiction of local courts is just continues to be eye-opening. And so you get some of those right turns. And so I think there was, some thought once the judge made the ruling that it could actually happen. But, I think it certainly opened old wounds for us. And while accountability in and around sports wagering is important, we believe it is important. Obviously, this was unique because you were talking about an individual, at least from what I read, and I don't have any inside detail, but, an individual who was wagering on his own team. And so because of that, I think that integrity of protecting the outcome of your own game, I mean, there's not any sport at any level in any country that permits that. And so I think that's why you saw the temperatures rise so high, across the college landscape about the damage it could do if in fact, he could play.
Well, I mean, I've covered college sports for a lot of years, Beth. I had no clue that a judge could have that much power. Were you aware that a judge could do that?
Well, we've seen it actually in other areas, right? Whether it's eligibility cases right now and transfer protocols, and it's one of the big picture challenges that we are facing as an entity, and why you see so much national discussion on what the right path forward is, and whether that's you know, some assistance from the federal government that gives us some state preemption. Mm-hmm. So you're not subject to all those rules. And, you know, we haven't found a path forward yet. But you're starting to see more and more examples of why it's needed. Certainly, first and foremost, to protect student athletes and their interests. But mm-hmm. It's just really hard to govern nationally when those rules can be challenged anytime somebody, you know, locally doesn't feel like their particular team is getting a fair shake.
No, that makes sense. And
when we had the gambling issues here, what steps did you take after that? Was there like an education class or something added for student athletes to make them aware of what they can and can't do?
Yeah, I mean, significantly. And we had a lot of education in embedded already, but I mean, we certainly renewed and upped our efforts. So we have continuing education that goes on, you know, generally information sessions the second they step on campus. There's reminders at times where there's typically higher incidence of gambling, you know, so think Super Bowl, March Madness. We bring in speakers that connect directly with our athletes who have been engaged in that and had some, you know, difficult things happening. And now we also have a system in which we enter actually all of our student athletes and staff that are prohibited. It's called ProAbet. And so it basically alerts you that somebody tried to place a bet in advance. Okay. And so we've taken a lot of steps to try to make sure we're informing them correctly and preventing them from making a mistake that could cause them damage to their eligibility or even more stringent circumstances.
Okay, Beth, now I want to ask, you know, the Protect College Sports Act, there's a lot of stuff going on with that right now. I know the Big Ten and the SEC presidents released a statement yesterday. Can you kind of explain to our listeners and to us where you and the Big Ten stand in this thing? Because I think a lot of people are confused. I mean, Tommy and I, just can you kind of shed some light on kind of where you see this going?
You know, it might be difficult to do in a really short period of
That's
time.
What I figured.
But maybe I'll sum it up as this. You know, we're really grateful, I think, overall for the focus and the time that many of our representatives across the country are spending and acknowledging the importance of college sports and the importance of ensuring that this great American tradition has a path forward that serves everybody. So we're grateful for all the work, and we understand how difficult it is to serve so many different interests as they're working through the bill. So, you know, generally speaking, there are a lot of those components that are in there that I think, you know, we think can be incredibly helpful. Whether that is, you know, state preemption, as I mentioned before, or some, you know, limited antitrust components, eligibility protections, certainly some support around student athletes and agent registration and all of those other pieces. But you're trying to serve a lot of people in those.
Yeah.
And so trying to figure out how to get everybody on board has been a challenge. So a lot of, you know, I think we're still hopeful we can get to a place where there's enough in there that'll serve, you know, the broad spectrum of college athletics, so all conferences can be supportive of that, and you get both houses, you know, of Congress on board. But it's a, you know, it's certainly a heavy lift, and they don't have a lot of time to do it as their session's coming to an end soon. So, but you do, you know, they have the ability to help us basically create a structure that has rules that are enforceable. And I think any entity, whether it's sports or otherwise, you know, you sort of need that foundational mm-hmm. element. Here's a structure, here's how it works, and if somebody's out of bounds, we have the ability to enforce that. And that's, you know, that's really what the end game is.
Okay. I wanted to look back at the winter sports season, and boy, what a winter it was. I mean, the men make it to the Elite Eight, that had to bring a smile to your face. Well, I know it did, because I watched you watch some of those games this year, and very pleasing with that worked out. I know the women didn't get past the second round, but they finished 15-3 in Big Ten play, 27-7 overall. To me, sometimes the regular season gets underappreciated. I'm just curious, when you look back and you evaluate, both of those seasons were largely successful, but they kind of did it in different ways. Is that fair to say?
I think that's a really good way to actually look at it. I appreciate the characterization. I mean, you talk about a really young team, I think, with women's basketball. And if anybody would have said that how we finished, I think, at the beginning of the year, we would have been thrilled. And, of course, seeing what they accomplished, you're always, you know, disappointed because we all want one more game and one more round in the NCAA tournament. But, you know, I thought they had a phenomenal year with a you know, with a young group, which makes, you know, obviously going into this year pretty exciting. So just really proud of what they accomplished. And I think the foundation Jan's laid and is, you know, and built off of in that transition from Coach Bluto to her has been tremendous. And then obviously on the men's side, I'd like to tell you I saw that coming in year one.
Me too.
But boy was that a good time. And you know, it was just so special, certainly for the team and to see what Coach McCollum did. But I tell you what was meaningful to me, just how much it meant to fans that have supported basketball, the emotion on their, literally to see the emotion on their face, and literally tears as you know, they punched the ticket to the Sweet 16 and then to get to the Elite Eight round. You know, those moments just mean so much to so many people, and I'm just really happy for our fans.
How did that come about to purchase that floor, that Sweet 16 floor? How did that process come about where you said, we'd like to buy this and make this our floor?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's really great. So that's a, you know, typically they do sell those. So this is sort of a standard thing. And I'm not sure anybody caught on to this, but that right before the men's game at USC, literally right before, because the official, all of a sudden I look up, it's about 5 o'clock and they've got the official standing in our hallway, which I've never seen up here in the admin offices. But we had, so our floor was starting to have some issues. And so we had to quickly try to repair it before the game. So we knew it's at the end of its life, but we knew we were going to have to replace it. So actually we'd already sort of started the process of like, okay, what are our options? We're going to replace it. You can obviously just go buy one, but we already thought, hey, we'll take a look and see if there happens to be any NCAA tournament floors, because they're all brand new. They get played on once or twice. So that had started long before we were even in the, you know, had even been selected to play. And then, you know, while we were out in Houston, actually the practice day in between Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, you know, one of the guys at the floor walks over and says, hey, do you guys have any interest in purchasing this? So I sat down next to Coach McCollum and I said, hey, you like the floor? And he's like, yeah, it's great. And I said, you want it? He goes, oh, sure. Thinking I'm playing around, right?
Wow.
So that's sort of the story. It was available at the time when we needed it. And it's just going to make it, you know, it makes it, makes for a great story that it's now sitting here in Carver.
No, that is a cool story.
Yeah, I like that.
Now, I wanted to ask you about wrestling. I think they finished fourth. I mean, which, you know, in a normal world, that would be like, yeehaw, can you imagine fourth? But for Iowa wrestling and with Penn State so far ahead, is that a concern to you, Beth? Because I had a couple wrestling fans text me and say, can you ask Beth, what can we do to compete against Penn State? I know that's not a simple answer, but can you share any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I would just say, I mean, you're right. There are incredibly high expectations.
Yes.
And the high expectations that our fan base has, that I have, and that coach has, you know, I think that's the reality, and everybody's on the same page with what we want to accomplish. So, you know, it's difficult. You can have an elite level program and, you know, still not be satisfied, because you want to feel like you can be at the top and certainly right now try to compete with Penn State. So, you know, those are conversations I have with Tom and with the staff all the time. And, you know, we're doing everything we can to make sure we position ourselves, you know, to catch them. And, you know, credit to what they've done over time. We had our run like that as well, where you're a little bit untouchable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to just continue to, you know, to eat at it each day of practice and every step of the way along the recruiting trail as well. And so, you know, we're not satisfied. I can tell you nobody's less satisfied than Coach Brands and his staff. But they're going to work, and we're going to do everything we can to support them to compete at that highest championship level.
Okay, I wanted to shift to the sport you played in college at Clemson, soccer. I was blindsided by Coach Deani leaving, but I probably shouldn't have been, because I knew he had Michigan roots. But then I look at the person you hired, Dean Ward, very impressive. I want to ask you, the fact that you did play soccer at a high level, how much did that assist you in the process of hiring a new coach, or was it no different than any other sport?
Yeah, I think it was different in that I was pretty engaged.
Okay.
I mean, not that, you know, typically, not that I'm not engaged, I'm engaged in every head coaching search to be sure. But in this one, I did a lot of the sort of the grassroots recruiting efforts. because I can talk the game, and I still obviously have some contacts. And, you know, it was fun for me to be able to do that. So, you know, I think it's unique. There aren't too many athletic directors with soccer in the background. And so, you know, you have an opportunity to engage and really talk to people in a way that's different. You've got coaches that, again, I'll have no more engagement with them in terms of what they do and how they coach than I would with any other sport, because that's not my role. Mm-hmm. But they know somebody's, you know, has a real interest and understanding of the game. And so we couldn't, you know, we just really feel like, you know, losing Dave, who did such great things here, but we just really feel like we hit it out of the park with Dean Ward. I think everybody's going to see what he, appreciate what he's accomplished, but really going to be excited about how he builds on what we have.
So I got to ask you, what kind of soccer player were you? How would you have described your style?
I was just a grinder. So okay. Blue collar, midfielder, do everything you can to be helpful on defense. And, you know, I won a lot of balls in the air. I had a little size, as well. But, I think the rule they had for me was, you know, win the ball, take a touch and get it to somebody that can do something with it. Okay. So, but yeah, it's a great sport. They've got a great tradition here, and it's a fun time to talk about it right now. It's you know, we got USA playing again today. Awesome mm-hmm. game on Friday in the World Cup, and we're gonna have a special team again here. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
I think that's the next sport up, isn't it? Isn't there an exhibition like August 1st or something? I think soccer is like the next Hawkeye sport.
Can you believe
sport.
It? It's around the corner. Yep. Yeah.
Summer goes fast.
Around the corner. We're going right from bananas to the Hawkeye.
I got to ask, Beth, do you get a time of year where things kind of slow? Is it now? Do things sort of slow down for you during the off school year at all, to where you take vacation and maybe get away a little bit?
Yeah, I would say, you know, for the administration staff, the non-coaching staff, typically June and July are a little bit lighter. I mean, the last, I don't know, maybe since COVID, I think with all the things going on nationally, that window of time has shrunk a little bit. But, you know, typically, you know, the last week of June, first week of July, those 2 weeks, I would say, are probably typically the quietest. I mean, maybe they won't be in Iowa City this year for good reason, but generally speaking, they're a little bit quieter. It gives us a chance to gives our staff a chance, certainly, to get away, see family, and take some time.
I got one last question I want to ask you about college baseball with the World Series going on right now. I've read all these articles about how Illinois, Nebraska, and a few other, they're able to fund their entire scholarships for their baseball players. They're all on, but despite the limitations, 11.9 or whatever, whereas Iowa doesn't have. Can you kind of explain how that works? I mean, Tommy, you've heard the same thing. I mean, I've read every baseball player at Nebraska is on a full scholarship, but not all of it's coming from athletic money. Can you kind of explain? Because to me, that seems to put Iowa on an uneven playing field.
Well, with the House settlement last July, one of the things that was a part of that was a removal of all scholarship limits. So scholarship limits don't exist.
Okay.
So there's no 11.9. There's not 85 in football. Essentially, you can now there are only roster limits. So there's a limit on how many students you can have on your roster, but you can scholarship as many or as few as you can. So to some extent, it's a simple financial calculation. So when you think about the House settlement coming on board in terms of expenses that all institutions would face, you had the additional revenue sharing number, which, again, in year one was $20.5 million. Uh-huh. So that was an additional expense added. And then if you were going to add scholarships for every other student-athlete that you had, I mean, that price tag, depending on whether they're in-state or out-of-state, would be another $10 million or so, and that's before we even talk sort of about above-the-cap NIL opportunities and making sure those are provided. So to some extent, it's just a financial, sort of a financial game, and it depends on how every institution is structured. So while we're working really, really diligently, obviously, to support all those things that I've just mentioned, and we have invested more in scholarship, certainly in some of our women's sports to ensure we continue to comply with Title IX. And we are working really hard to try to add to that list and add a few more scholarships for baseball and in wrestling and some of our men's sports as well as we come into next year. But for us, it's just, you know, trying to work through that piece. And Few schools in our footprint have been able to make some of those adjustments, and we're just going to have to work really hard to try to catch up.
Okay, thanks for explaining that to me.
I want to wrap up, because normally when we interview a coach or a player, we ask them who they would, you know, who Beth Getz would have them, you know, if she asked them to book Kinnick, who would they pick?
Well, we've already done that with Beth.
Can I
say something? Okay, Beth, I'm old, okay? And I've been doing this a long
time. We're all getting old. That's a good thing.
Okay. And I did a lot of oldies, emceeing for oldie shows. And has anybody ever told you, you sound exactly like Brenda Lee?
I gotta tell you, that's a first. I hope that's a good thing. But no one has made that connection for me.
Do you know who Brenda Lee is?
Do not.
Okay. Hell, I don't. She is she?
Well, rocking around the Christmas tree. She did that, and
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's
a
compliment.
Well, I wasn't going to ask.
No, I knew
you guys had probably already asked her who she would book as her fantasy band to play Kinnick Stadium. But I'm curious. You don't have to give specifics, but with the Savannah Bananas, have you looked at other non-athletic events, perhaps for Kinnick or Carver? I mean, I know you're in negotiations. If you are. In negotiations, I don't want to ruin it, but have you looked at things like that or been talking to people about it?
Yeah, you know, we're trying to, we don't have anything we're in the midst of, I guess, currently negotiating, but we're trying to be as creative as we can. I mean, one, I think it serves our community well. Mm-hmm. And we've got, you know, a tremendous partnership, you know, with Corville and the Iowa Sports Commission and trying to bring things to the community. But, you know, I think there's a lot of use for both of those facilities, and we want to be mindful. We've got a lot of, you know, of the other things that go on here, particularly with our sports and commencement and that type of thing. But I think, you know, an opportunity to bring in different types of events is appealing and a lot of fun. So we'll keep an open mind and, you know, happy to take any suggestions or inquiries that come out there.
Well, Beth, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it. Football's right around the corner. Can't wait. And again, thank you. Tommy, anything else?
No, I wanted to say your social media team is just crushing it lately. I like the thing with the Lego players for the basketball team.
You were going to ask her about that.
Is that a hands-on thing? Are you kind of telling the social media team, here's kind of what I'd like, or do you just hire the best people and say, go just do what you
gotta
do?
And is it just evolving? Because
that Vanderbilt thing went viral nationally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was something. No, I do not tell them anything. We have an incredibly creative and talented team, and we stay behind the scenes and support their work. But man, they've been phenomenal. I love. Yeah, although I didn't understand all of the Vandy piece, it was really
cool.
I watched six times. I did. I had to get a college kid to interpret for me. But they, it was really well done. But they are always ahead of the curve.
They are.
I just love they're getting recognized, you know, in that world for a lot of their work with awards. And they're relentless. I mean, there are times we're telling them, like, you know, hey, you got to take a break or you don't have to be at this event. And they just, they're just incredibly talented, very passionate, and want to make sure they get our athletes and our programs and the institution as much exposure as they can. So, We're really, really fortunate, you know, across the board. I mean, every member of that team, from, you know, content to social media, to video to photography, I mean, they're just outstanding. And so we're just really lucky, and they're going to keep hitting out of the park. And the best thing for them is if I stay out of their way.
Okay.
So I will promise to do that and just cheer them on as they put out content.
They're doing great.
Well, Brandy Britt used to run it. Now you just, I believe her name's Anna Kaiser, was brought in, former DI person. She's been brought in to help. No, they do. They do a really good job. They're
great.
Very creative. And it's like you said,
well,
Beth,
when you put like the Vanderbilt thing on the Pat McAfee show, that's only good for the program.
It pushes the brand. It really, they do a great job of pushing your brand in a fun way.
Yeah.
And that's what you want from them. But again, thanks a lot for your time, Beth. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for having me. Go Hawks.
All right.
Go Hawks. Have a good weekend. That was fun.
Yeah.
Brenda Lee.
Brenda Lee.
I've heard of her. I do remember who she is now.
Yeah.
Fever.
I'm serious. The minute she started talking. Oh, I was serious. The minute she started talking, I said, God, it's Brenda Lee.
Now that I think back to that song, I do sort of. I bet you think she's looking up Brenda Lee right now, or think you gave her enough
of a description? So you interviewed Brenda Lee?
I did these oldie shows.
Was she nice? Was she mean?
That's what I'm going to get at. Was she mean?
She was not.
I wanted her to be the female.
Like, what if Beth gets it? Sounded like somebody had been mean to you. That would have been fun.
No, she was real sweet.
You think she's going to sound like Fabian?
Yeah, Fabian.
Yeah.
Well, who was the one from Little House
Colin
on the Prairie who got mad? Or Eve Plum.
Eve Plum from the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, the Brady Bunch. Yeah.
Because she didn't want to talk about the Brady Bunch. Well, what else is there?
Yeah.
With Eve Plum.
Well, she had some damn show on Saturday mornings on NBC, and she wanted,
again. What else
and
is
then
there?
And then I said,
nobody cares.
Well, I am not talking about that.
But no, I appreciate Beth coming on, and that's the Sports Protect Act stuff, though. That stuff is so complicated.
Yeah.
And I don't know where it's going to go. And right now, I don't think anyone knows where it's going to go. And I did. That was my. I forgot that scholarships are basically null and void now. But there were times when. Back when scholarships were a factor, when Illinois and Nebraska specifically were able to get financial aid from different revenue streams that Iowa didn't have access to. But now, of course, with the new legislation, things are basically what she was saying is Illinois and Nebraska right now have more money being donated to. Isn't that how you interpret it?
Yeah.
They have more money being donated to their baseball programs. And that's, you know, that's a challenge Iowa faces to try to figure out ways to get, you know, to improve on that.
You know, and I mean, it's important. Like some jerk in the chat room.
No,
you know, with all the Savannah bananas. I'm sick. Yeah, things like that.
What's wrong?
The thing
with
that sold out two nights in a row.
Yeah, I mean,
what's wrong?
Sold out two nights in a row.
If you don't
immediately,
if you don't like it, just don't go.
Yeah,
but why rip it? I mean, it's
I don't know because it's the internet, I guess.
But it's Iowa's pushing their brand. Its fans are going to have fun at it. I mean, just,
and,
to me,
and
it seems
she's
like a
thinking
thing.
Of more stuff like
yes.
that, which is important.
Yeah,
and she did early on. She said, "Guys, it's different being in the sports world is so different now than when she got involved in it 15, 20 years ago. It's just changing." Dramatically, not all for the good either. I mean, the fact that that Brendan Sorsby thing was allowed to go as long as it did, that's not a good sign. I mean, the fact that a judge has that much power and can kind of bring the whole sports world to a screeching halt, and the fact that Texas Tech fought it for so long. Yeah. I mean, that's what was weird, too. Now, they didn't fight it for, I thought they would continue, but I wrote last week that there's no way this kid's going to play. The resistance is going to be too strong. I didn't think it would be that fast, but I think once the kid realized, man, there's no way, I can't outlive this. This will be on me, and fortunately, cooler minds prevailed, and now he's moved on, and if he's good enough to play in the NFL, but I can't imagine the gambling stuff's going to help his cause in the NFL. I think some of those teams are going to be looking at him very closely, obviously. If he's good enough, he'll play.
Yeah, but it's just so conflicted, this whole it's just hypocritical.
It really
is.
The
whole thing is just.
And I understand she's limited in what she can say, but I thought she was pretty forthright, and she said as much as she could. I kind of got the impression from her that she's like, you know, we're not sure how a lot of this stuff's going to play out. Every day it seems like something new comes up. But I just think that local jurisdiction by that judge just kind of caught, not necessarily by surprise, was just a reminder, yeah, this is possible. This can happen. And it wasn't good. Hey, Cubs win last night? Oh, that's right. It was Thursday. They don't usually play on Thursdays. Well, at least they didn't lose. And they won two series in a row, haven't they? Cubs are back.
Milwaukee lost. I know that.
Cubs are back.
Because Cleveland won. I didn't like that as a White Sox fan.
Bring on the Dodgers is what I'm saying. Cubs are back, Captain.
By the way, Steve called me during the White Sox game, and as soon as he hung up on me, Benintendi hit the game-winning grand slam. So you should call me during more White Sox games. You're watching Caitlin.
And I didn't even realize Caitlin was on last night.
You
I
were
didn't,
swearing.
You don't have Prime.
He started swearing on the phone.
But I'm kind of glad. I don't
need effing this, and God damn it, they won't do that.
I don't need to see him give up 108 points.
I don't know. It just is.
Their defense is just horrid.
Awful.
Awful. All of them.
I mean,
even Caitlin.
Yeah.
I'm not. They're all just.
But Caitlin can't be the only one that's at least, you know.
Well, Caitlin's not expected to be their best defender.
And Aaliyah, you know.
Aaliyah Guyton's got to be. Not Aaliyah Guyton. Aaliyah Boston. She's got to be better because she's known for her defense. At South Carolina, she was an incredible defender. They just get shredded. Teams
it's a cluster.
Easy access to the basket.
Sometimes it's a cluster. It was amazing they caught up.
Well, she scored 26, and somebody else scored. They had like three players in the 20s and still lost. They're just not defending. And that's keeping them from getting any momentum going. Oh, the one thing I wanted to ask Beth, and she probably, I wonder how long it's going to take. You know they're going to put a statue up of Caitlin, right, where Gable used to be. And my guess is it's going to be from the shot of her making the logo three to
probably,
break
yeah.
the record. There'll be a statue of Caitlin. Obviously, Beth probably wouldn't answer, but I'm predicting that'll be up between 1 and 3 years from now, right where the Gable one used to be, since they've moved it down over to the facility. That's my prediction. I know not many people deserve statues, but I think Caitlin does, even if she's not playing great defense right now. I mean, she never played great defense at Iowa. It just rarely mattered, you know, because they would win games 93 to 86 and she'd score 40, you know. But the NBA, WNBA is a whole different monster.
Okay, let's take a break.
Okay.
We'll be back.
1-800-800-ROSE. Your FTD florist is the only number you need to know to send flowers anywhere in the country or Canada from anywhere in the country. 1-800-800-ROSE. It's so easy. Just remember one number. 1-800-800-ROSE. Your FTD florist. 1-800-800-ROSE. Remember...
For a gift that your loved one will treasure for a lifetime, find it at our family-owned jewelry store in Iowa City, Pertine and Stocker Jewelers.
We can show you diamond engagement rings, colored stones, fashion jewelry, and watches.
Our jewelers are on site, so we can design jewelry for that special person in your life.
We are Pertine and Stocker, serving Iowa City and the surrounding area for 3 generations.
Pertine and Stocker Jewelers, downtown Iowa City, and PertineandStockerJewelers.com. Ask for Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of us is always there.
Don't wait for an emergency to get a backup for your car keys. Unlike the olden days, car keys have gotten extremely complex. Mike's eKeys for Cars can generate the most technically advanced automotive keys that are on the market today. For spares and lost keys, Mike's eKeys for Cars can produce most conventional transponder, high security, and remote head keys. Mike's eKeys for Cars will keep you on the road. Call 319-330-9185 and schedule an appointment today. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 319-330-9185 today.
If you live outside the city, you already know the struggle. Slow internet, drop calls, endless buffering, and promises from providers that never deliver. Well, now, things have changed. Big Dog Tech Solutions is proud to now offer Starlink Home Internet, bringing high-speed satellite internet to homes, farms, shops, cabins, and RVs across eastern Iowa and beyond. Starlink delivers fast, reliable internet where traditional providers can't. And Big Dog Tech Solutions makes it easy, setting up installation, networking, Wi-Fi setup, and local expertise you can actually call and talk to. So whether you're working from home, streaming TV, running security cameras, gaming, or just tired of terrible internet, it's time to upgrade. Call Big Dog Tech today at 319-395-0800. Or go to bigdogtech.net, that's bigdogtech.net, and ask about Starlink, technology that works where you live.
Hi, I'm Jim Street, owner of Streets Maintenance. As a licensed, insured, and bonded master plumber, I specialize in all plumbing repairs, including but not limited to water heater and sump pumps to toilet and faucet repairs and replacements. As an Iowa City native, I know how frustrating it can be when any part of your plumbing system breaks down. That's why I only use trusted brands and quality materials. I offer same-day, next-day service coupled with a fair price. I also offer general service to mobile homes. For more information about my business, I'm online at streetsmaintenance.com and Facebook, or give me a call at 400-4483.
Streets Maintenance. Honest plumbing at a fair price.
Your life is always changing, and a lot of things can affect how and what you save. So a good retirement plan changes with your life. At Wells Fargo Advisors, we believe conversation leads to financial clarity. So start a conversation today. Wells Fargo Advisors. Together, we'll go far. For information locally, call 338-3799 or 866-217-2369. Or stop by 501 12th Avenue, Suite 201, Coralville. Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, member SIPC.
Hawkeye fans, you love watching the black and gold. You know Hawkeye black and gold. As a Hawkeye fan, there are no better colors than the Hawkeye black and gold. Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. When you're buying, selling, or refinancing your property, consider the green and white team, Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Give us a call at 351-8600. Hawkeye Title and Settlement. The team you love, the people you trust.
Don't let just anyone take care of your smile. At Diamond Dental, you can expect compassion, expertise, and a personalized care plan to protect your teeth for life. With more than 30 years of combined experience, Dr. Forbes and his staff are prepared to tackle even your toughest dental problems, leaving your smile healthy and sparkling. Diamond Dental offers a full range of general and cosmetic dentistry, as well as dental treatment options for snoring and sleep apnea. It's never too early to start thinking about what's best for your smile. Schedule an appointment today by calling 319-390-3703 or visiting the office at 5815 Consul Street Northeast, Suite D1 in Cedar Rapids. You can also visit DiamondDentalPC.com for more information. Dr. Forbes is a proud sponsor of the Hawkeye Wrestling Club and the Inner Circle. Let the Diamond Dental team provide superior care for your entire family.
This is Leah Pesha, and I've been saying, hit a deer, call Premier, for years. And it works. Deer divots and dings do damage, but Premier Auto will do right by you. That's what my dad Nathan's driving at and dreams about. Do yourself a favor. When your car is dinged, be a deer and call Premier. The deer don't like Premier, but you will. Premier Automotive, North Liberty's premier auto body repair shop.
Hit a deer? Call Premier. When you go to a family restaurant, you want three things. One, a wide selection of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items. Two, you want those selections to be affordable and delicious. And three, you want to be treated like family. You get all three at the Midtown Family Restaurant. Breakfast items available anytime the doors are open. Legendary tenderloins, onion rings, and hot roast beef sandwiches. Daily specials at each location, and no matter if you're coming in solo or with a group of 20, you get the same special family treatment. The Midtown Family Restaurants at Court and Scott Streets and at the Walmart Plaza on Highway 1 West. Follow them on Facebook or at MidtownFamily.com. The family's waiting for you.
GT Carr, owner of Supple's Building and Remodeling, has been offering unmatched service and quality for over 25 years. The trained professionals at Supple's Building and Remodeling will install and guarantee the products used in any job, no matter how big or small. They also stand behind their work and offer no-nonsense, exceptional customer service from design to completion and beyond. Whether it's a simple window replacement or a major house addition, you'll have the confidence that Supple's Building and Remodeling is committed to quality. Visit Supple's.net or call them today at 319-337-2246.
If you're looking for a trusted insurance guidance from someone who truly understands your needs, you can turn to me, Tiffany Rao, independent insurance agent. I specialize in Medicare and senior products, and I also offer coverage for those under 65 through the ACA marketplace, along with long-term care and cancer insurance plans. As a proud second-generation insurance professional, I bring local expertise and personal touch you can count on. Call me today at 319-631-4795, and let's find the coverage that's right for you.
When someone is kind enough to share their time with us, we better make it worth their while.
They don't want to do the, people call it the game, right?
Patrick Gaines and Terry Adams of Deary Brothers Ford talk about what Here For You means to them.
You don't have to spend a half a day in our dealership to get that good competitive price. We just want to try to deliver that to you up front.
And that makes me feel good. Makes me proud.
Because that's what people want. They want a fair, honest deal.
As far as the statement Here For You, we want to not just say it, but live it.
Find out what it means to you at Deary Ford in Iowa City.
You hungry? The Oxyokin Sunday Brunch Buffet offers so many choices of fresh entrees, homemade salads, waffles, omelets made to order, pastries, three tiers of desserts, and much more. Such a great value. You can always eat out, but not every place serves an experience. Serve 9 until 2. See you this Sunday. You'll always leave happy at the Oxyokin in the heart of Amana.
The Oxyokin.
From the Hertin and Stocker Studios in the heart of the Hawkeye Nation, this is the mighty 1630 KCJJ Iowa City.
Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, making memories, making moments.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sieverton. They're not simple or predictable, and now they're stalled. The U.S.-Iran talks. White House using the first two words to describe the effort, ABC's Mary Bruce.
The vice president was expected to be arriving in Switzerland this morning for these next round of talks, but that trip now delayed. And at the same time, Israel launching new attacks on Lebanon, making it clear they are not bound by this deal.
Some of President Trump's fellow Republicans are openly criticizing the initial deal, Iran already profiting by being allowed again to sell oil. Maritime data firm
Kepler says Strait of Hormuz oil tanker traffic has picked up. Oil prices are lower. All of Italy is probably talking about this latest snit. Deputy Premier and Foreign Minister Antonio Tajani says he's called up his upcoming visit to the U.S., offended by President Trump saying Italian Premier Giorgia Meloni begged him to take a photo with her at this week's G7 summit. Meloni is ticked off, too. This is ABC News.
KCJJ Weather, brought to you by Plum Supply.
Plum Supply, kitchens and baths. Your home never looks so beautiful.
Meteorologist Rodney Price, clouds will increase this afternoon and some late day showers and storms possible, upper 70s and a northwest to westerly wind. Storm chance a little greater tonight, mostly cloudy and upper 50s. Sunshine returning for Saturday, high temperatures near 80, but clouds will increase Saturday night, some showers and storms, a few of those lingering into your Father's Day, highs in the lower 70s. That's KCJJ Weather. It's 69 at our studios.
It is 8 after 10 o'clock. We are
nice
back.
69, Steve.
That weather didn't sound that bad.
Yeah. No, it's great.
No, it's fine.
Except for the rain on Sunday, but we need a little bit of rain.
I'm just glad.
Maybe not right now.
What's been so nice recently is no humidity.
Yeah.
I mean, these last couple of days have just been really nice as far as, I mean, 2 days ago it was almost cold at times. So, but no, that was fun catching up with Beth. We appreciate her making some time for us. And I thought
she's very sharp.
She is. Well, she obviously is.
And
very
pleasant
sharp
to talk to.
And she did. I'm glad I asked about that soccer question because I think she made it sound like, yeah, I hired this guy because she played the sport at a high level. I mean, she's in charge of hiring everybody, but it was interesting listening to her say she took a lot more of a hands-on approach. And I've heard nothing but good things about Dean Ward, the new coach. He was really good at Xavier. And I expect the soccer program to stay strong because Coach Deani built a good program that was bigger, I think, than just one person. That's the key when building a program. Make it bigger than one person.
So. Well, I remember the soccer program, and I remember when the rowing program were just like bottom of the barrel. They were the worst in the Big Ten for a long time. Now soccer's really good.
Soccer's been really good
for a long
time.
Nice facility. People like going to the games.
Nice facility.
Oh, field hockey's always good.
That's one thing I wanted to ask her if there's anything. I haven't seen much discussion about the latest renovations going on with Carver. I think we're going to have. That's one thing. We kept her on over 20 minutes. I think that's, can't ask every question.
Well, I wanted to ask her stuff she doesn't get asked all the time.
But it was good, though, to start with the Savannah Banana stuff.
The next thing up. It's like in 2 weeks.
That's the next thing up, and it's going to be interesting to see. I just hope the weather cooperates.
I've seen, the Coliseum in Los Angeles host the Dodgers game before. So I've seen a football field like that set up for baseball. It does look a little weird, but it works.
Well, somebody, Lance sent
me. It's one of people catching home runs out there in the section in front of the Children's Hospital.
Lance sent me a, let me see, he texted me a configuration.
What, is Lance an expert on baseball configuration?
Well, no,
now?
He just.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was right. The northwest corner is going to be home plate. Right there where we come out on the field, mm-hmm. The media people come out.
Hey, Lance, I could use some more corn nuts.
A lot of empty space out there.
And I just
southern half.
I just got the new insurance for dental insurance, so I'm ready.
I was distracted, by the way, at the end of that interview because two of the cats were moving through the bean field.
Yeah.
And the beans are high enough that it kind of looked like that scene in Jurassic Park where the velociraptors are going through the tall grass. You could see the little paths, except it was two cats. I don't know why that was funny to me. I was mesmerized by it. Anyway, cat talk's over.
There we go.
So I thought about asking Beth this, but it's more of just a question people probably know the answer to. Is she involved when they schedule things like this Iowa men's basketball sort of semi home and home where they're going to play
involved,
in Iowa?
Yeah, she's involved in anything like that.
Okay,
I'm not sure how hands on she is, but yes, I mean, everything has to go through the AD. And I think that's good. I like the fact they're playing Alabama and Des Moines on December.
Because Ben McCollum had said, I want to do more games like this.
And he also has said that it's hard to get home and aways, but I like the fact they're going to Des Moines to play this game against a team that very well could come up here and win. I mean, Alabama, year in and year out, has been better than Iowa.
And then in Mobile, Alabama the next season.
And then, down in Mobile.
I like that.
I think that is a good way to do it. And that I think there'll be a great showing from fans.
And there's, big fan contingency in Des Moines.
Yeah.
All over the state.
Well, plus you also want to, Iowa State's Central Iowa. If you're Iowa, you want to remember, we're still here too. I mean, Iowa wants to keep their presence in Central Iowa as strong as it can because, I'm guessing Iowa State's has grown over the years and what have you. So But again, with Iowa State, if they have a bad football season, boy, that's a way to kill momentum. If they go like 3-9 or 4-8 this year, that's going to be a momentum killer for them. And I'm not convinced they're going to be very good this year. There's so many questions about Iowa State. I mean, because they had such an overhaul of personnel. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they do. This guy's been a winner. I mean, he won at South Dakota State, won a national title there, and he did okay at Washington State under tough circumstances last year. Jimmy Rogers is his name. And so, like I said, I sometimes have to remind myself that Matt Campbell's gone. I was reading my athlons yesterday, and I saw Penn State, and I'm like, oh, God, that's right. Matt Campbell's there. Sometimes you forget stuff like
that. Yeah, it's kind of weird having Matt Campbell a conference game now.
Yeah. And seeing Rocco Beck and Ben Bramer and that Bacon kid all making all Big Ten for Penn State. They used to be Iowa State guys.
Hello.
Hello. What was the reason for Iowa stopping playing UNI and Drake every year?
Fran got thrown out at the game at UNI, and I think that was it. He was pissed, and he didn't want to deal with it anymore. And I do think it's because they're harder to win there than it used to be. And I just don't think Iowa or Iowa State wanted to risk losing at Drake and Iowa State on an annual basis. They say it's because they don't have enough schedule spots, and that's not true. It's just not. They always seem to have enough to schedule 7 or 8 just complete crap games. And I'm biased because I went to Drake.
And the women play it every year, so yeah. I just thought, you know, why not? I enjoyed it back when I worked for the primetime, because I knew the players on all the teams because they played in primetime.
Yeah, and I think going to the Knapp Center makes Iowa, in the long run, a better team than playing. That's just me. And we asked Ben about it. Ben doesn't seem real interested in getting it back to where it was. So, I mean, that's their prerogative. I just think it's unfortunate.
Well, I always enjoyed that, and I enjoy it but when the women do it.
No, me
and
too.
I hadn't paid much attention to the trades in the WNBA, but I noticed Angel Reese was playing for the Atlanta Dream last night.
Yeah. Yeah, she got to the show.
And that's who played.
So obviously, Sky didn't want her anymore.
That's who played Caitlin, the Dream?
Yeah.
So Angel got the better of Caitlin last night? How did Angel play?
She was okay.
Well, she rebounds.
I think she got 26 points.
Okay. And she rebounds.
Yeah, and she rebounds.
She's an incredible rebounder, especially offensively.
She's a good rebounder, yeah. She's not always really great at shooting, but she's good at rebounding.
There you go, yep. So.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you guys have a good day.
You too, Karen.
That was interesting talking about these basketball games that we've got. The women, I knew there was a game in Sioux City. It's the women are playing Vanderbilt in Sioux City. November 15th.
And the men have.
And they're at Connecticut and Storrs, Connecticut on the 8th. Those are the only two non-conference they've got scheduled, according to the website. Men have two games in Des Moines because they're playing Creighton there. I forgot about that in November.
And I just looked because I was sure of it anyway. But Iowa football, when it plays at the same time Iowa State does, Iowa football, at least on the radio, we always win. I mean, ratings wise, you know, KXNO carries Iowa State, and HO always beats
that doesn't surprise me
by a lot.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, Iowa has almost 20,000 more fans at every home game than Iowa State. They're just a little bigger. That's why they call Iowa State little brother. But no, that doesn't surprise me. Iowa's always had. I'm not sure enrollment wise though. I'm not sure. I think Iowa State has.
They usually have a higher enrollment now.
Iowa State may have a bigger enrollment than Iowa now. What's Iowa like in the low 30s?
Yeah, like it's 31 or 30.
Seems like it's been around there, but I think Iowa State might be. I think Iowa State might be above that. I could be wrong. I'm often wrong about stuff like that. I remember looking up Ohio State one time, and there was like 54,000. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible how many students are at some of these schools. But yeah, no, that does not surprise me. And trying to think if there was anything else from the interview that stood out.
I'm trying to think, too.
But yeah, she... interesting what you said about wrestling. There's really not much. It's got to get better. That was basically her message. We just got to keep working at it and try to be better. The problem is Penn State's not going to. I don't think Penn State's going to fall back to the pack.
No.
I think the pack, while Sanderson is there, the pack's going to have to catch up to Penn State. And right now, Iowa is not necessarily the head of that pack that's trying to catch up. They're kind of second or third in that pecking order.
We're actually tied with them.
Tied, okay.
Basically, I mean, we've got a couple hundred more than they do, but
there's been times where they've had more, but I think most people, if you asked, I bet most people in the state would think that Iowa had more students than Iowa State.
It's got 300, basically around 300 more students, but it's 31,000.
So, okay. And don't you agree, though, if you took a poll, I bet most people in the state would think that Iowa had more students just because they have a bigger stadium, bigger sports budget.
And bigger fan base, as you pointed out.
Bigger fan base, yeah. So, but that's interesting.
Yeah, they're tied.
But, yeah, I mean, I saw the other day countdown to football was what I say. I hate
that. You like the tweets say this, you know, it's like whatever the player's number is, this many days. It's
no
DJ Vanami days until football.
Because as you get older, you want to appreciate the days. You don't want to just look ahead, constantly look ahead. You want to live in the moment, right, Captain?
No.
You're looking ahead or you're looking behind?
He doesn't like summer. It's too hot.
I don't like
You don't like winter either.
Too cold.
You don't like spring. You don't like fall.
I like spring and fall. I do like spring and fall.
I don't like fall. I get
winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call.
I get too busy.
You've got a friend.
I get too busy in the fall.
Yeah, it is a busy time.
I don't like being busy.
Well, it's your job.
I know, but I don't like having a job.
Driving over to Kinnick.
Driving all the way across town over to Kinnick. And meanwhile, you got guys driving in from Burlington and Des Moines three times. And then I'm the one bitching.
Yeah.
They come up with a big smile on their face. They're locked in, ready to go, 250 miles on their car. And I'm mad because I had to drive up Burlington Street. What does that say?
It doesn't say good.
No. People like getting up at 5 in the morning to drive in from Sioux City for football games. We're like, I got to go across the river.
But I'm still...
You know, Saturdays I'd get here like at 4:30 on away games, and Bud would call me up, you know, from wherever he was.
I remember those days.
I'm up, you know. He's off.
He'd call you as soon as you went on the air at 5 on Saturday mornings. We're getting set up.
Well, you guys were ripping me a while back about not like the go place. And Suter's like, Pat, you don't even want to drive to North Liberty.
Yeah.
That's what Suter said. He goes, you don't even like driving to North Liberty. Well, have you been to North Liberty lately?
I think there was a game you were thinking of covering. It was a West City game. You're like, is it City or West? Oh, it's at West? I'm not going to go. I got to go all the way to West. City High's like 3 blocks away.
I think that's what it was. No, I remember that. Cover to watch.
Okay.
It was something.
You always bitch about food in your neighborhood. Have you seen what took
food
Marco's name. Place?
No, I haven't.
Well, yeah, we've talked about this multiple times. It's the fried Frank's Fried Chicken and Smash Burger.
Well, I know, but if you had
it. Is it open yet? Last I walked by there 4 or 5 days ago, it wasn't open.
Okay.
Well, I just they had stools up. They had the signs up and everything, but I looked in the window the other day, and it looked like they were still working. Okay. It could be open by now. That was about a week ago. No, I hope it makes it.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope would like to have seen Marcos make it. I went there a few times.
Wow, we went there.
I wanted Emilio's to make it.
Suter and I went there all the time.
Yeah, I mean, Marcos had good tater tots, and that's where I'm rugby
chili
gym.
Dog.
I still eat at the one down on Lynn Street.
Yeah,
I like that one.
I eat there.
So there's one left. Because they used to have one out in Coralville. It shut down. They opened this one. But no, I hope the place makes it. I mean, it's nice to have options.
They got good chili dog. Like,
so in that mall
chili
now.
Chili dog and the tater tots were excellent.
You're going to have Frank's Fried Chicken. You've got two dogs. You've got Taste of China. Is that the? And then
Taste of China.
And then Fuji Grill.
And then Fuji
Grill. And I love Fuji Grill. That's the one I go
to. Oh, if we're talking chili cheese fries, may I commend Culver's? Went there with my mom yesterday. We went in because there was a long line at the drive-thru, and we got to sit and look at the menu. I'm like, I didn't know they had all this stuff.
I didn't know they had chili cheese fries.
They had chili cheese fries. But here's the deal. You get them like a crinkle-cut fry.
They're really good for you, too.
Oh, yeah. You get one cup of chili and one cup of cheese instead of like them dumping it on it. And I'm like, well, that's odd. And I dipped fry by fry into the chili and then the cheese, and it was perfect. I've never done that before.
Well, even with the
it cheese, was great,
and the cheese makes it even healthier.
So. Even healthier, yes.
What do you think, Captain?
Hey, you're in a studio with me today. You should be lucky that my body processed it correctly.
There you go.
This could have been a brutal day for you, pal.
I haven't had chili for a while. So does Culver's just have chili by itself?
I think you can just chili. Yeah, they had like fried shrimp and stuff.
Is it as good as Wendy's?
Yeah, you know.
It was pretty good, yeah.
It's pretty good.
Wendy's chili's pretty good.
I think Wendy's is.
It reminds me of Casey's Pizza. It's been there forever, and it's always been pretty good.
Yeah.
Fingers aside. I know that was a scam. Yeah, remember it though?
It was
a scam. Somebody put a finger in there thinking they were gonna get money. Good God. At least I do work. It I don't try to scam fan. People.
Yeah, they had like some accident or something. And they had a finger cut off. And the genius goes,
"Hey, put that in.
I'll put it in the. I'll put my finger in the chili
and sue.
Yeah, and sue. A little did they think
there'd be an investigation.
That's your fingerprint. It's your finger, and you had an accident.
I'll never forget that one. That's all true too. We're not making that up.
No. It was the guy's finger, and they fingerprinted it.
But I would think you'd notice the missing finger on the guy.
But I've always said that, though. Wendy's chili has
like
always
the Big Lebowski.
Been good. It's always been good.
No, I like
it's
it.
It's always had a good taste to it.
Yeah.
You know?
And, no, it's got the right amount of beans and meat.
And the right amount of biscotti, you know, liquidy, you know?
No, it's,
I don't like chili that's like really pasty and thick. I like it to be more soupy. And that's what.
Yeah, Wendy's is good.
No, it is good. So, but, all right, back to the Hawks. What else is there? College World Series. What do we have? Is it North Carolina?
Oklahoma.
And Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And do they start tomorrow, I believe, right?
I think they start tomorrow and play until September. Yeah.
Well, they start tomorrow, the best of three.
Yeah.
And, okay, so Oklahoma.
1, 2, that's 3 days in a row. Yeah.
Okay. And I don't know if Oklahoma's lost yet. Man, they've got three of their best pitchers are freshmen. So, yeah, I mean, Oklahoma's good in a lot of different
sports. I admit,
sports.
I haven't really watched any of the postseason.
I've watched a little bit, not much. I mean, if there's no big, I don't care if it's.
I watched some of the Big Ten teams in the first rounds, like USC.
I will say, though, if Iowa ever made it to the World Series, they would bring a ton of fans.
They would.
I bet you there'd be 15, 20,000 Iowa fans at that thing. People that probably never would give much thought about going to a baseball game in their normal life, but they would latch on to that. That would be so cool. To see that. I know Iowa did make it to the Super Regional, I think, back in 17 under Rick, but it's not easy. I mean, it is not easy getting there. So, but yeah, no, I haven't watched it. And I just think a lot of people may disagree. I just think the baseball postseason takes too long.
Oh, it takes, yeah.
It's just, you lose interest. I mean, the NBA playoffs are over, you know? I mean, and now granted, the NBA starts in November and baseball starts in February, but I don't know. I just think there's too much postseason. And that's because of double elimination tournaments. But the weather has mostly been pretty good over at Omaha.
They haven't had a lot of rainouts at that level. I think they had some in the early rounds, but I don't think they've had a lot at the College World Series. The women's, they did. I think didn't softball have some rain?
Softball,
problems?
I think they did. But baseball really hasn't had much. And I don't know what the weather's going to be like in Omaha this weekend. And I mean,
if it's anything like here, it's great. I mean, I know it's another state away, but. Not that far.
It's amazing, though, how much weather can just screw something up totally.
Yeah.
If you run
into we talk about Savannah bananas. I mean, what if we got severe thunderstorms or something?
It won't happen.
You know?
So, okay, does everybody get reimbursed? Let's say it does, just 2 days, can't do either one because of horrible weather. Do people get refunded? How does that work?
I would think so.
It's cloudy.
You can buy insurance
for Omaha. It's cloudy and it looks like rain tonight. A little bit of a chance this afternoon, not much, 20%, but tonight, 50%.
Starting when?
5 o'clock.
That could be a problem. But for the most part, though, they haven't had to deal with much weather.
Just look at our email, make sure we don't get one of those last-second emails about breaking news. It always comes right after we get off the air.
That does seem to happen a lot. Like when that running back committed the other day, I was not aware of it for a while. I ended up posting something, but I was way behind everybody else because I can't remember. I was preoccupied with doing something. So I made the vital error of getting off social media or not having my phone nearby. And then they got a 3-star running back out of Indianapolis named, I believe, Keon Thomas, 5'11", 205 pounds, big kid. I mean, he's already a big...
Well, let's open up your story right here on Hawk Fanatic.
Already a big...
Keon Thomas is correct. 5'11", 205 pounds.
And look what Tom Lemming says. I always go to Tom because he's been doing it for 40-some years.
Well, he follows everybody.
And he follows everybody, and he's seen this kid play multiple times.
It's a Lemming joke.
Yeah.
Do you have Tom Lemming quoted in the story?
I believe so.
Oh, here it is. He has a strong back with real good size, runs with good pad level, breaks tackles easily, and has the speed to go to the distance.
There you
Definitely one of the top running back prospects in the Midwest.
Yeah, there you go. So Tom's always good for insight, and I value his opinion because he does literally go all over the country. He evaluates these guys in person, on tape, and he's been doing it since the late 70s, if you can imagine that. He drives hundreds of thousands of miles all over the country evaluating these guys, and he's, I think he's made a pretty good living out of it. And he's a nice guy. He's very easy to get in touch with. He's always willing to help. So I appreciate Tom's insight. So, yeah, they've got 13 players now committed to their 2027 class. He's the first running back and the first running back to commit since Jay Norville was hired as the Iowa running back coach. So that's kind of the angle I took. And he's on paper, he looks like a pretty good prospect. He picked, you know, Illinois offered him, Michigan State offered him. Kind of your typical Iowa guy. Not a five-star, but hardly, you know, but also some guy. I think he's got really good credentials. Ran for over 1,300 yards last year, 19 touchdowns. And again, 5'11", 205 in high school, that's a big kid. That's a kid who's already been lifting a lot of weights, and he's just going to get to Iowa and get even stronger.
That's what's so weird about Iowa football and recruiting is they could say they signed a three-star, and my brain says, well, Kirk knows what he's doing, and they're going to develop this guy into something
bigger.
I
do that bigger. All the time now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you'd expect it.
I do that all the time. I mean, like, they got that D-back, Jonathan Harris, and I looked, he picked Iowa over, like, Sacramento State and Butler, which I didn't even know had football. And I'm like, whatever. I'm not going to question it because they've had so many other examples like that that have worked. They don't all work, but more times they work. And enough of work. It's worth the risk, and you just got to give them the benefit of the doubt in these types of situations. And I do. I mean, especially Phil Parker. I don't question any recruits he gets D-back wise. I don't care how many stars, what schools have offered him. Phil Parker thinks they're good enough. I'm going to have faith in that. And what I like about this Jonathan Harris kid is he's a 2-time state wrestling qualifier. He's 6'2", and he's a defensive back. That's a guy Iowa could get him, put some weight on him. Who knows where he could play? So, yeah, I don't question any of the stuff Iowa does recruiting-wise now because they've just proven they have a track record where they often prove the doubters, and they see talent where other coaches don't. And I also think they're realistic, too. I mean, why would Kirk want to spend all his resources and time chasing after a bunch of five-stars who aren't going to come here? Of course, you offer them, you give them the opportunity, but you don't preoccupy yourself with that. You get guys who fit your culture, who are good enough to play, and then you develop them, and that's what they do.
All right. I think that.
Look, we made it to the end of the
show.
We're
going to end on that strong endorsement for Hawkeye football, yeah. Captain. What do you think of that?
I laughed and I cried.
You laughed and you cried.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good day.
Yeah.
To laugh and cry in the same day, that's a good day.
The same five-second
interval. And again, thanks again to Beth Getz.
Happens sometimes with accounts receivable.
For coming on, and Matt Weitzel for helping to organize the interview. We appreciate it. And everybody, and go out and enjoy the nice weather.
HawkFanatic.com.
Oh, no show tomorrow, right?
Yeah,
no show without Suter.
I've got to do a remote at a golf course and no Suter.
Yeah. Okay, once again, HawkFanatic.com. It is free.
KCJJ Weather, brought to you.